So it's good to be here in person, to some extent. And Be'ezras Hashem, I think we will all be here in person, I hope, in the not too distant future. I want to continue the
Who's in the
conversation.
room with you? If I could just ask, who's in the room with you?
Yeah, there is in the other side. There, fellows, Ellie Fink is in the room with me. So
We can't see.
hence you can no longer see my face, which is. What can we do? Okay, gentlemen, we are focusing on the Gemara that tells me that bishul b'chama, that cooking in the sun, is absolutely permitted. And we noted that there is a large machlokas in poskim to how we understand why it's permitted. According to Rashi, it's permitted because it's not the normal way to as such. So we noted that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Chelak Gimel Siman Nun Beis, cooking in the microwave is considered bishul min haTorah, and that's because he assumes that not only do we need that something is normal to cook with, as opposed to not normal, but if something would be normal were it to be available to everyone, so then Rav Moshe says it's going to be forbidden on the level of Daraisa as well. That's Rav Moshe's understanding. Consequently, Rav Moshe says that using a microwave is absolutely forbidden. However, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in that Tshuva and Chelek Aleph Siman Yud Beis, footnote 4, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, the understanding of Bishol Bechama is that categorically this is not considered cooking. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that there's halachic definition of cooking, which involves a real fire. This is relevant for matzah. It's relevant for Korban Pesach, etc. And as such, even if something is a normal way of cooking, it is still going to be forbidden. As a matter of just going through the sugya, the Gemara later on has a discussion about chamei tiberia, cooking in the hot springs of Tiberias. And in the Chamei Tiberia, there is a machlokas, practically speaking, what heats Chamei Tiberia? Are the Chamei Tiberia heated by the core of the earth? Is that what heats the Chamei Tiberia? Or are the Chamei Tiberia considered Chamei Chama, are they heated somehow by the sun? And that's a machlokas in the Tanaim between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachomim. Again, it plays into the machlokas in our Mishnah. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach notes that according to Rashi, the entire Gemara, according to Rashi, as understood by Rav Moshe Feinstein, this entire Gemara doesn't make sense. Because who cares what the source of the heating is? Who cares if the Chamei Tiberia are heated by the core of the earth or they're heated by the sun? That should not matter at all. Because the question is this a normal way to cook or is it not a normal way to cook? So whether, right, what the source is, according to Rav Moshe's understanding of Rashi, the source of the heat doesn't really matter. Right, it could be heated by the sun, but let's look more fundamentally. Do people use Chamei Tiberia to cook, or they don't use Chamei Tiberia to cook? That's really the question. And as such, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, again, based on the simple reading of our Gemara, Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that Rav Moshe's take on Rashi is incorrect. We noted yesterday that Rabbi Willig tries to defend Rav Moshe's take on Rashi, but nonetheless, the majority of poskim feel that Rav Shlomo Zalman's take on Rashi is correct, which means that cooking in the sun is categorically not considered cooking according to halacha. If that's the case, so then we began the conversation that we started yesterday, which is cooking in the Dud Shemesh, cooking in a Dud Shemesh, right? A solar heating system. Is that cooking min haTorah or not? According to Rashi, presumably it is definitely a problem. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one could argue that it should be permitted to cook in a Dud Shemesh, because by definition, cooking with the sun is not considered cooking. So we will begin this conversation in a minute, but Nady has a comment.
Shalom. It would appear to me that you could be machalik within Rav Moshe, the Hainu, that, you know, solar cooking in general is not so common, even though Dud Shemesh is common, and maybe it's not an Issur D'oraisa. But Lu Yitzuyer is a nomadic tribe in the Sahara Desert, where solar heat cooking is normal, and I move in with them. Would that be an Issur D'oraisa for Rav Moshe?
Maybe. Again, you're, I think, asking a more fundamental question, which is when I talk about the normal way to cook, is that localized in my community, or is that a broader type of question, right? If I live in a community where the majority of cooking is done with solar heat, so does that change if I move to a community where the majority of cooking is done with the fire, right? Would the halacha change based on where I am? Again?
Local or global, and do we itemize it?
Correct. Right. And I don't know. I don't know exactly the answer, but I would say that in countries where they use a Dud Shemesh, the majority of heating of hot water is through the Dud Shemesh. So we have this question about the status of Dud Shemesh in Halacha. Now, let's just take a step back. Yeah, Ari?
I just want to note that you're saying that Rav Yossi holds that the Chametz Torah are heated by the core of the earth, but I just the Gemara's language is the gates of Gehenna. I just wonder, is that how are we supposed to take that? Is that literal, or are you?
So my understanding is, I'm not taking as the gates of Gehenna in a literal sort of way. I think what it means is that Gehenna is assumed to be very low down in the earth, where it's really hot, and that's what we call the core of the earth. That's my understanding of it. Again, thank God I have not yet been in Gehenna. I can't guarantee that I'll never get there. Hope not. That's sort of how I'm trying to live my life, not to get there. But I don't think the Gemara literally means Gehenna. I think the Gemara really means like what we would call heat of the core. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Now,
does the corporeality of Gehenna relate to the corporeality of God?
Probably not. Yeah, probably not. I think the non-corporeality of God is much more accepted in, but whatever, that's a much longer conversation. And quite honestly, I never thought about it. Thank you for asking that question, whatever. Now, what's the status of solar heat that is refracted through mirrors? The way a Dud Shemesh works is you have these large solar panels. Right? We mentioned that they are coated in black, so they absorb the heat. They retain the heat so that when the water goes through them near the pipes, they are heated that way. That's the basic issue. That's the way a solar panel works. Now, is that called heating something b'chama, which is absolutely permitted? Or is that called todos chama? If you remember, the Gemara says that cooking bishul b'chama is heter gomor. But todos chama, let's say I cook something on a hot sidewalk, which was heated by the sun, that's aser midrabanan, because we do not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says todos chama is permitted. We follow the opinion that todos chama is forbidden midrabanan. Well, how do I understand cooking with solar heat when the solar heat is refracted through a magnifying glass or through these mirrors, etc. So everyone, yeah, Mr. Fink, just speak louder so that people could hear you.
How is it different putting than Bishulbagag?
So how is it different than Bishulbagag? So I want to talk about Bishulbagag in a few minutes. We'll get there. But Bishulbagag probably is that I am cooking with the roof. The roof in the sense of it's the same as heating stuff on the sidewalk, right? The roof is the same as heating stuff on the sidewalk, and the roof might be better than heating stuff on the sidewalk because it's highly unusual for someone to cook stuff on the roof. It's more unusual than cooking something on the sidewalk. I want to talk about that in a few minutes. So now, gentlemen, what's the status of cooking something with a magnifying glass? So everyone quotes the Sefer Shvisas HaShabbos in footnote 44. The Shvisas HaShabbos quotes a Metshuva called the Sha'ar HaZakenim. I have no idea who he is. And the Sha'ar HaZakenim discusses magnifying glasses. He's uncertain. Everyone agrees if the magnifying glass creates a fire. So a fire is a fire. And therefore, if I cook on that fire, that's really forbidden. But when I cook directly with the magnifying glass, what's the story? So he writes, lo brirali, I'm not sure. Ulai kechama atzma, maybe it's like cooking in the sun directly. Al koponim, you could be mekel nir elohakya ayadei goy b'makom miksas choli. Meaning the Shvisas HaShabbos does not permit cooking with a magnifying glass. He permits cooking with a magnifying glass if you have an ill person and you have a guy who is holding that magnifying glass and using it to cook. That is already interesting because the literature to permit a solar heating system is based on the fact that the Shvisas HaShabbos says it's permitted. Well, open the Shvisas HaShabbos, ladies, gentlemen of the jury. It ain't there. So I have no idea what's going on. Mr. Nady, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, what's pshat in the Shvisas HaShabbos? Like, that's on the books in the Gemara. Like, that's
Gemara is speaking about cooking directly with the sunlight. The Shvisas HaShabbos entertains the idea that if I have a magnifying glass, it's not really cooking directly with the sunlight because the sun would not cook it. The magnifying glass intensifies the sun rays to enable it to cook. So maybe that is called toldos hachama.
I mean, is this that the Shvisas HaShabbos didn't understand how like convex and concave lenses worked? Or
no, I think he understood it very well, but he has a question lahalacha as to what the status is.
I just take more of them and I concentrate them. It's the same rays of the sun.
But since it's not naturally happening through the sun, so therefore, right, since you have to add something else, so it would not cook if I just have sunlight. It only cooks because there is something that is assisting that sunlight to cook. So one could make a good case that Chama is only direct sunlight, and this is called Todos Chama. Now, it's a suffix in the Shvisas HaShabbos. He's uncertain, and he himself is not inclined to be Mekel unless you're doing it with a Goy, etc. However, yes.
Yeah, and just yesterday you told us about a principle of you can ask a non-Jew for a mitzvah. I guess that's for a violation of a Rabbanan, right? So is this considered a mitzvah, like to heal someone who's sick or take care of someone who's sick? Is that?
In other words, even if you hold actually that you cannot ask a non-Jew to do a Rabbanan for a mitzvah, but for a chola, everyone assumes you can ask a non-Jew. Mm-hmm. Everyone holds that for an ill person, you can ask a non-Jew to, everyone holds that.
Right.
Let's go. So apparently this issue was a big issue in the Bezdin of the Rabbanot. at one point, the Bezin the Rabbanut was like the all-star team to beat all our all-star teams. The three Dayonim and the chief Bezin the Rabbanut were Chacham Ovadi Yosef, Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv, and Rav Yosef Kafach. Rav Kafach is the great Yemenite scholar. Rav Yashiv is Rav Yashiv. And Chacham Ovadia just had his yard site last week. He's Chacham Ovadia. So like, these are the supers. And has Rav Yashiv resigned from the Rabbanut Beis Din based on, because of a psak that the then chief rabbi, Rav Goren, gave about a famous Mamzerus case of quote Ha'ach V'Ha'achot. Rav Goren had leniency over here. Rav Yashiv felt he was wrong and he resigned from the Rabbanut Beis Din. Because he had been on the Rabbanut Beis Din, that's why Rav Yashiv was never fully accepted in the Haredi world until he was older than everybody else. Now, Rav Kafa says that he thinks it's not called Toldos Chama. Using a magnifying glass, he argues, is called Chama itself. It's direct sunlight. And this is similar to what Nadi is saying. Todos Chama means something that absorbed heat from the sun. And then I take that something and I move it somewhere else and it's still hot. If I take sand that was heated by the sun, let's say theoretically I would take that sand and move it down the block. Would the sand still be hot? Absolutely, no? But if I take my magnifying glass and I move it down the block when there's no sun, is my magnifying glass hot? No, not at all. So therefore, the magnifying glass is considered chama. And therefore, one could argue that the water that is heated by those solar panels is definitely permitted. However, the issue that came up was, when you think about it, in most cases, a dud shemesh means that the cold water is heated by the hot water, which is already in the tank. The way it usually operates is that you have a giant tank, and when you take water out of the tank, you take hot water out, so cold water comes in, and what's heating that cold water is the hot water in the tank. So that is really Toldos Chama, and we assume that Toldos Chama is forbidden on Shabbos on the love of Drabonim. Nonetheless, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchasa, Volume 1. Now, I should point out something I just realized around an hour ago, is that there were two printings of Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchasa, Volume 1. There's the 1965 printing of it, and then there is a printing in like 1978. Okay, this will be relevant in a few minutes. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, nonetheless, there is room to permit cooking in a dud shemesh. There's room to permit removing hot water from the dud shemesh and cold water comes in. Because, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, toldos chama, stuff that's heated by the sun, is only forbidden, Rashi writes, because it is michlifa deligzar ha atuha. Meaning, according to Rashi, the understanding of Toldos Chama is that people will mistake it for Toldos Ha'ar. Someone is going to come and they'll see what I'm doing, and they don't know, am I cooking with solar heat or am I cooking with heat from a fire? People won't know. So they will make a mistake and they'll think I am doing an Avera. And that is why Toldos Chama is forbidden. However, when you have a Dud Shemesh, and everybody knows that you're heating it through the sun, so therefore there is no problem. That is his understanding. Now, according to this understanding, in the continuation of our Gemara picks up on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yossi, I'm allowed to crack an egg on top of a hot handkerchief. But even Rabbi Yossi says you are not allowed to cook in chol or ba'avak derachim. You're not allowed to put that egg into the sand on the road, which was heated by the wagons, or hot sand, you cannot put your egg in there, according to Rabbi Yossi. So why is it that Rabbi Yossi permits handkerchiefs, but forbids cholam b'avak derachim? So the Gemara has a machlokas. Rabba says the reason why Rabbi Yossi forbids cholam b'avak derachim is because of a concern that maybe a person will be matmin berenetz. What am I doing? I'm taking my egg, I'm sticking it into the ground. That's called hatmana, right? We spent the beginning of the semester talking about hatmana. I'm insulating it. People might think I am insulating it beremet. People might think I'm using coals. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabba says within Rabbi Yossi, that's why it's forbidden. However, Rabbi Yosef explains within Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yosef says within Rabbi Yossi that the reason why Rabbi Yossi agrees is because of Mipnei Shemezes Ofer Mimkomo, because I am moving dirt. And there is a dispute between Rashi and Tosvos what I am moving dirt means. Rashi says, I am moving dirt. And when I stick my egg into the ground, what I am doing is I am making a hole. And making a hole is a malacha of digging on Shabbos, of Choresh. That's Rashi. Tosvos disagrees. I spent a lot of time this morning on the Tosvos. How exactly you read the Tosvos, maybe we'll have to go through. Oh, by the way, I should note, on Sunday, Baruch Hashem, my niece is getting married, so I will not be giving shir on Sunday. We will pick up, God willing, on Monday. I have absolutely no regrets not giving shir on Sunday. I'm really happy that my niece is getting married, so we will miss a day of shir for that.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Okay. This is actually a big, this is my oldest niece. Like, really happy that she's getting married. She's really happy. All is grand. Now.
Rabbi, what was the malacha for Rashi?
According to Rashi, the malacha is choresh. Rashi uses an expression of chofer, that I am digging. In the Oz v'Hodar Gemaras, he quotes that there are different versions of the Rashi, and the Rashi on the Rif writes explicitly it's the malacha of choresh, of plowing. Digging a hole can be choresh, it can be plowing. Digging a hole could also be the malacha of bone, of building. You have to imagine homes that had dirt floors, right? Sometimes you would dig a hole because that's your storage container, right? So that's part of building. Rashi apparently is saying, according to this version of Rashi, that it's choresh. Tosfos, however, disagrees. And Tosfos says, according to Rav Yosef, the reason why Rabbi Yosei in the Mishnah says you are not allowed to put the egg in the avak drachim is because it is some isser of muktzah. I am moving the dirt. Now, muktzah, according to Rabbi Yosei, does not mean only moving items with your hand, but even if I move items with an egg, that is also a violation of muktzah. That's called tilto men hatzad. And Rabbi Yosef says within Rabbi Yosei that tilto men hatzad is forbidden. It's forbidden to move muktzah through something else. Okay, be it as it may. So Rabbi Yosei in the Mishnah forbids putting an egg in the road on the street. And there's a dispute within Rabbi Yosei why it is forbidden. Is it forbidden because of a concern of hatmana, that's Rabba, or is it forbidden because of a concern of moving muktzah? In the context of this Gemara, right, and this is what Ellie Fink brought up a few minutes ago. In the context of this Gemara, we try to bring a proof from putting an egg on top of a roof. The Gemara says that You're allowed, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, I'm allowed to put megalgon beitz al gabi gagroteach. I'm allowed to put an egg to heat it up on top of a roof. Now, the Gemara has a question. Why is it permitted? Aren't you going to move the dirt? The Gemara answers, there's no dirt on the roof. That's basically the Gemara. The simple reading of our Gemara is, or I shouldn't say the simple reading, I'll take a step back. According to Rashi, our Gemara is saying that even according to the Rabbanon, it is going to be permitted to heat an egg on the roof. Although the Gemara's conversation, the dispute between Rabbi and Rav Yosef, is within the opinion of Rabbi Yosei, but Rashi says that the concern of heating stuff in the sun is because people might think I am doing an Aveira. If that's the case, when you put something up on the roof, so people are not going to think that you are doing an Aveira. And according to Rashi, it should be permitted to put something on the roof because no one would think that you are cooking it with a fire. You see an egg on the roof, no one would think that you're cooking it in the fire. Reb Shlomo Zalman in this footnote quotes, by the way, were people able to read it? I sent it out on the WhatsApp. I hope it was readable. But Reb Shlomo Zalman quotes that the Me'iri understands it like this as well. And therefore, as a matter of halacha, even though we paskin against Rabbi Yosei in the Mishnah, but still you're allowed to heat stuff on the roof. You can heat an egg on the roof, even according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yosi, because no one in their right mind would think that I'm doing an Aveira. Therefore, says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, it should be permitted to use a solar heating system, to use a Dud Shemesh, because no one would think you're doing an Aveira, because just like heating something on the roof, no one thinks you're doing an Aveira. With the solar system, everybody knows it's a solar system, a solar heating system. Everybody knows it's a solar heating system. So therefore, you're definitely not doing an Aveira. So that's why he thinks it's permitted. And he quotes that the Maharshal permits heating an egg on the roof. It is not called Todos Chama, which is forbidden. This is the type of Todos Chama that is permitted because no one will possibly think you're doing an Aveira. Now comes along the Magen Avraham.
Rebbe, is it that he's saying that it's on the roof is Todos Chama?
On the roof is Todos Chama, but Toldos Hachama is only forbidden when someone will think I am doing an Aveira right now. And therefore, when it's on the roof, when no one will think I'm doing an Aveira right now, so therefore it's permitted. If I heat something next to a pot that was on the fire, excuse me, if I heat something, if I have an egg that's heated by being next to a pot, and the pot was heated by the sun, people might think I did an Aveira, that maybe this pot was really heated by a fire. But on top of the roof, no one will think I did an Aveira. So therefore, the Maharshal permits heating an egg on top of the roof. The Magen Avraham, however, in Shin Yud Ches Se'if Katin Yud, the Magen Avraham says that we disagree with the Maharshal. And as a matter of halacha, we who hold like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yosi, we say it is forbidden to cook an egg on top of the roof. When the Gemara says, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, it's permitted, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was speaking within the rejected opinion of Rabbi Yosi. But as a matter of halacha, we follow the chachamim, and therefore heating an egg on the roof is going to be forbidden. That opinion is found in the Rashba, and that's the opinion that the Magen Avraham Paskins like. Nonetheless, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in a feat of tremendous halachic creativity, says using a Dud Shemesh is still permitted. Because the only opinion who would say it's forbidden is the Rashba. And maybe the Rashba would permit a Dud Shemesh, because the case of a Dud Shemesh is not that you have in mind. You don't intend on cooking the water, the cold water that enters the solar heating tank. You don't intend on cooking that water. It happens inevitably. That's called the Pesach Reisha. The Rashba has a unique position that Pesach Reisha requires some degree of concentration. An inevitable act, which is forbidden on Shabbos, according to the Rashba, it has to be that you have in mind somehow that you could be doing an Avera. But the Rashba gives a case. Let's say I close the door to my house, and it happens that there's a deer in my house. So that is not called a Pesach Reisha, says the Rashba, because your intention is only to close the door to your house. Why did I close the door? Because I have valuables at home. I don't want you to come and take my valuables. I'm not at all thinking about the deer. It doesn't even register. So since the Rashba himself is the one who forbids heating the egg on the roof, we cannot extrapolate that the Rashba would forbid using the Dud Shemesh, because the Dud Shemesh is a Pesach Reisha. And the Rashba, with his own innovative take on Pesach Reisha, the Rashba would actually say that it's permitted. So Reb Shlomo Zalman's creative halachic approach is basically, according to Rashi, it's permitted. The one who disagrees with Rashi is the Rashba. So the Rashba says you can't heat an egg on top of the roof, but the Rashba would permit it because this is the type of Pesach Reisha that the Rashba permits. And therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says all is grand and Dud Shemeshes are permitted. Mr. Fink, how are you?
Isn't the Pesach Reisha makalev? Because you want the water to be heated when you...
So you got to give me 5 minutes and we'll talk about whether this is Pesach Reisha de nichale or lo nichale. Right? With the halachos of Pesach Reisha, it depends whether you're happy with the outcome or not, according to many. We will have to talk about that. But even if it's nichale, the Rashba says that this type of case is not at all a Pesach Reisha. Pesach Reisha means you have some intention in the back of your mind over here. Reb Shlomo Zalman says this is not a Pesach Reisha at all. Now,
this is less than a Pesach Reisha.
This is less than a Pesach Reisha. This is super duper mutter. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says. Now, there is a thing in Judaism. Someone can actually write an article about this called non-haskamos. A non-haskama means as follows. I write an approbation on a work, and the approbation that I write says, this work is written in Hebrew, the author has a beard, right, presumably, and he's Jewish, presumably. So therefore, I am writing a letter of approbation on the book, but you should know, so-and-so got the following things wrong. X, Y, Z, he's wrong about everything. Right, that's called a non-haskama. Reb Moshe Feinstein has a few famous non-haskamos, right? He wrote a haskama. Reb Moshe famously opposed the construction of the Eruv in Manhattan, but he wrote a sefer, he wrote a haskama on this fellow Maskowitz's sefer about building Eruv in Manhattan, and the haskama says, this entire book is against what I feel, but you should buy it anyway. A non-haskama occurred in the second printing of Shmirah Shabbos 1.0. I just found this out like an hour ago. It got me so excited.
1.2?
What? One, right, 1.0 version 2, right? Like, so 1.0 version 2, Rav Shmuel Vosner, he was like the Rav in Bnei Brak until right 5-6 years ago. He passed away. So Rav Vosner wrote a Haskama. And Rav Vosner's Haskama says, you permit using a Dud Shemesh, you're wrong. That's his Haskama. By the book, but he permits the Dud Shemeshes and he's wrong. This appears in Rav Vosner's Tshuvas in Volume 1, Simen Tzadi Dalet, where Rav Vosner does not even mention the name of the book. He writes, Ra'isi b'sefer echad se'if chavtes, that he permits using a Dud Shemesh. But he's wrong. Why is he wrong? Because it's based on a Rashba, and says Rav Vosner, that Rashba is so completely rejected. This idea is that the Rashba is the one who forbids cooking an egg on the roof. But the Rashba permits psik reishas, and this unusual type of psik reisha, or this very usual type of psik reisha, the Rashba has this unusual approach to psik reisha. Says Rav Vosner, you can't rely on that Rashba's approach on psik reisha. No one relies on it. Actually, the Ran quotes that approach of the Rashba. He says, Ein lahakel kokach. The Magen Mishnah says about this Rashba, less demaskimle, that no one agrees with him. Basically, Rav Vosner's non-haskama is, don't ding up this Rashba. So, is there any other permission to be granted? According to Rashi, it should be permitted. If Rashi holds that Toldos Chama is only forbidden because people think I'm doing an Aveira of cooking, so according to Rashi, it is permitted. But according to the Rashba, this Toldos Chama would be forbidden. Nonetheless, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that maybe there are other grounds to be lenient. And he, like, at the very end of this footnote, Rav Shlomo Zalman gives like 5 or 6 different potential reasons to be lenient. And Chacham Ovadia Yosef goes on for like 50 pages analyzing all of these reasons. This is in Yabia Omer Chelak Dalad Simen Lamed Dalad. One reason is, this is a psik reisha on a drabonon. Psik reisha, remember, means I do action A. Action B occurs inevitably because I did A. Says many mefarshim, the Trumas Hadeshin says this, that psik reisha is only forbidden when I'm doing an aveira d'oraisa. Over here, in the worst case scenario, it's an aveira d'rabbanon, because I'm heating the hot water, I'm heating the cold water that enters the tank with hot water that was heated by the sun. So it is toldos hachama. Toldos hachama is only aser midrabbanon. So therefore, it is a psik reisha on a d'rabbanon. Now, it's a little difficult to rely on this opinion, because if you look in the Magen Avraham, Simen Shin Gedalet Se'if Katan Hey, the Magen Avraham brings proof after proof after proof that psik reisha on a drabonon is actually forbidden. The major proof to this is a Tosis in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel and other sources as well. The Magen Avraham is convinced you cannot rely on psik reisha by a drabonon. Nonetheless, are yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan? No? Everyone agree with that? Are yeshivas named after Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector? Because we were founded the first time in 1886 called Eitz Chaim. Then in 1896, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector passed away. And then at that point, the yeshiva reorganized and they named itself after Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, yes.
Just going back to Rav Vosner for a second. Rav Shlomo Zalman was trying to use the Rashba within the Rashba. He wasn't saying the Rashba is a good sniffle hakel. Saying it's good to use the Rashba against the Rashba.
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, where Rav Vosner says is, it's not only the Rashba who forbids putting an egg on the roof. There's a whole other group of Rishonim, and you can't say that that whole other group is going like the Rashba, because no one holds like the Rashba. I should have added that sentence. Right? The Ran says that it is forbidden to put an egg on the roof, according to the Chachamim. The Ran does not hold like the Rashba. That's basically Rav Vosner's argument. Oh. Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan Spector wrote tshuvos, many tshuvos. He has a sefer and tshuvos on Arachayim called the Be'er Yitzchak. In the Be'er Yitzchak, in a number of places, he says that even though the Magen Avram feels that psikresha and the drabonon is forbidden, but the minhag is to be lenient on psikreshas and drabonons. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, had a next door neighbor, Reb Tuvia Goldstein. They say that when Reb Moshe had to write tshuvas, he would talk it out with Reb Tuvia. In the Brisa, in the sixth parak of Maseches Avos, it says one of the ways that you acquire Torah is by sharing your ideas with somebody else. Rav Moshe's neighbor, Rav Tuvia Goldstein, was a big enough Talmud Chacham that he could follow Rav Moshe. So once upon a time, years ago, I went to a wedding of one of my cousins, and Rav Tuvia Goldstein is at the wedding. I was learning Shabbos at that point. So I asked Rav Tuvia Goldstein what he thought about Psik Resha and Rabbanans. So he tells me that every Rav in Europe was Mekal on Psik Resha and Rabbanans. That's probably an exaggeration. It probably was not every rabbi. But, right, you see, the Mishnah Brura is Machmir. But the Mishnah Brura is Machmir because the Mishnah Brura is text-based halacha. But Rav Tuvia Goldstein was telling me that the Rabbanim in Europe used to pass him. Psik Resha and Rabbanans is Mutter. Okay, so that is certainly one reason to be lenient over here. Another reason to be lenient. It could be that cooking water itself is only forbidden midrabanan. We encountered that Rambam in Perek Tesef of Shabbos Halacha Gimel, no? Where the Rambam says, if I cook something that doesn't have to be cooked. Remember? The Rambam's expression about Bishol Achar Bishol is if I cook something that's already cooked, or something that doesn't need to be cooked. Water is, you can drink water when it is uncooked. Therefore, there are some who say that cooking water is only forbidden midrabanan. Now, the Mishnah Brura hates this approach. You look in the Mishnah Brura in Shin Yud Ches, Se'if Katin Kuf Yud Dalid. The Mishnah Brura says this approach is like, so wrong. There is like nothing to talk about. But among the leniencies that they bring up with the Dud Shemesh is that maybe cooking water is a drabanan. Yes.
Doesn't the Rambam himself and the Gemara say that the shear
the shear of cooking water is in order to heat up like a finger? So some suggest that what the Rambam means is that heating water to bathe is asur min haTorah, because you can't bathe in cold water. But heating water for drinking or for eating, right? All eating is the same. And heating water for eating might be asur midrabanan. When I take water out of my dud shemesh, why am I taking hot water out? Right. Usually, if I take it up before Shabbos, it's because I want to take a shower. But I'm taking out the water on Shabbos because I want to wash dishes. You can theoretically wash dishes in cold water also. So it could be that washing dishes, right, with water, cooking water for that purpose is only rabbinic.
Do we find that you know, if I'm doing it with this kavana or that kavana?
No, it's really unusual. And
it's special.
That's why the Mishnah Brura hates this idea. This idea that cooking water is forbidden rabbinically, it's like against Judaism. But it exists. The idea is out there. And they use that idea as another leniency with the Dud Shemesh. Okay? We are already grasping for straws, but we'll do the best we can. Ellie.
I would take
care
of the Dud Shemesh on Shabbos to wash my hands, wouldn't I?
I could use it. So maybe it would be forbidden to use it to wash my hands. It's permitted to wash my dishes. It gets difficult. I agree with you. It's not.
I have to wear gloves when I wash my dishes so my hands don't get wet.
Well, I don't know. That would be a dumb shame to miss. God, I don't think it's worth spending time on this position because I think this position is like too far out there. Let's go other possibilities to be lenient. In that massive tshuva of Chacham Ovadia Yosef, And actually, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, in his Tshuvas in Siman Kuf Pei Ches, presents what Chacham Avadia spends like 50 pages on, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank spends 7 paragraphs on. That's why he's so much, he's awesome, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, in his Tshuva, says maybe this is a psik resha de lo nichole on the drabonon. Now, there are two types of psik resha. There's a psik resha where I do action A and action B happens, but I'm happy with action B. I want it. Then there's a psik resha. I do action A and action B occurs, but I am not happy with action B. That's called the psik resha de lo nichole. Just to give one of the paradigmatic cases of psik resha, let's say I take a bench. I drag a bench on Shabbos. If it's a heavy bench, I am inevitably going to dig in the ground, no? Sometimes I'm happy when I dig in the ground. If I drag my bench in the field, I'm happy with the digging because now I can seed it easily. But sometimes I'm pulling a bench across my front lawn, and I'm really not happy with the fact that my front lawn looks like, you know, who knows what happened to it. I'm not happy with that. That's a psik resha de lo nichole. There is a dispute in Rishonim about psik resha de lo nichole. If I do action A and action B occurs, but I'm not happy with action B, there is a position of the Aruch that psik resha de lo nichole is permitted. Taisus and Daf Kuf Gimel and Shabbos says we reject the Aruch. And psik resha de lo nichole is forbidden. But the last line in Tosos says, if it is a psik resha de lo nichole on a derabanan, then it's permitted. Meaning, it could be that I forbid a psik resha on a derabanan. It could be that I forbid psik resha de lo nichole. But when you put the two together, psik resha de lo nichole on a derabanan, it becomes permitted. It's possible that when I use the dun shemesh, when additional water comes into that tank, I don't care about that additional water that comes in. My tank holds 100 gallons. Over the course of the Shabbos, how many gallons do I need to wash my dishes? 5 gallons? So the fact that those 5 gallons come into my tank, because any gallon that comes out, another gallon has to come in. The fact that those 5 gallons come in, I don't care about it. Because for my purposes, I need 5 gallons. I still have another 95. I don't need those extra gallons that enter the tank. It doesn't help me. It's going to help me on Tuesday, whenever I would get to that point. So therefore, it is psik resha de lo nichole on a drabonon. It's a drabonon because it is total schama. It could be it's an extra drabonon because it's heating water. Let me just finish for a second. It could be it's drabonon for a third reason. Because maybe the Isser de Orais on Shabbos is if I am active. I take cold water and I pour it into hot water. But over here, I'm not active. I take hot water out. That creates a vacuum that removes a seal that was not allowing cold water to enter the tank until now. When I take my hot water out, new cold water comes in. But that's not my action. I'm not pouring the cold water in. It just happens because there was a vacuum that's created and now it comes out. That is another reason. That is perhaps called a grumma, that's indirect activity, which is also forbidden midrabanon. So what I could do is I could say that this case is a psik resha on many drabonans, todos chamas drabonan, it's drabonan because maybe heating water is drabonan, it's drabonan because maybe this isn't my activity, it's a grema, and it's lo nichole. So I have all of these reasons together. Maybe that is enough to be lenient on a psik resha. Right, again, Ari pointed out now in the chat that one of the good examples of psik resha is opening a refrigerator when my light bulb is in the refrigerator. In that situation,
Isn't it even without the light bulb just because you're
so
you then, may
when I open my refrigerator
the thermostat could be activated.
Well, the thing about the thermostat is it could be triggered, it might not be triggered. It really depends on how long I leave my refrigerator open. The standard practice is to permit opening refrigerators on Shabbos, although many, many years ago in America, Rabbonim had long discussions that maybe you cannot open refrigerators on Shabbos because of the thermostat. There still are some people who do this, but that's not a psik resha. That case is not inevitable. I open my refrigerator. It could be the motor will not cycle on. Right? Psik resha means it's inevitable. Now, Nady asked the question. Nady said, one second, maybe this case is not lo nichale. This case is called apathy. I don't care if it happens. Lo nichale means I really don't want to rip up my lawn. Over here, I don't care. So that issue is also an extensive discussion in Rishonim. We'll see a Taisus on Daf Ayin Hey, where he talks about that issue. God willing, we'll get there next semester. Chacham Ovadia Yosef, in that long 50-page tshuva, tries to show that the consensus approach in Judaism is that psik resha de lo echpat le, if I don't care about it, it's the same as lo nichole. Ostensibly, what we have over here is that those poskim who are lenient on the Dud Shemesh are putting together a whole bunch of leniencies. Each one on their own probably does not stand, but they put them all together, and that's why they say it is going to be permitted. The standard approach is that you should avoid using a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos, because any kula that takes 45 minutes to explain, right, is probably a little too difficult. Right, this, if you look in Rav Rimon Sefer, Rav Rimon just came out with this book on Hilchos Shabbos. It's really a beautiful sefer. It's actually being translated into English. That's what he told. I wrote a review of the book in this website called The Lair House. And Rav Rimon was in touch with me after. He says he's trying to get the book translated into English. I think that would be a major contribution to American Jewry, because it's like an awesome sefer. In Rav Rimon's Sefer, like on page 202 through 208, he gives you all the literature about the Dud Shemesh in terms of all the articles that came out in Torah journals, all the years, etc. It seems like it's a difficult kula. However, there are times when using a Dud Shemesh might be really permitted on Shabbos. Let's say I'm washing my dishes Friday night. The whole family showered. I have a large family, 11 kids. I really don't. But let's say I have 11 kids and they all showered right before Shabbos. I don't have much hot water left. When I wash the dishes after a short meal on Friday night, so the water in that Dud Shemesh is not really hot. That water might be lukewarm. It might not be Yad Soledespo, which we'll have to define what that is. And in that situation, you can probably permit using the water that comes out of the Dud Shemesh, because the cold water that comes in is not really being heated. Anything that will be heated is the water in the tank, which gets heated by the sun, right? I'm not heating the cold water with the hot water. The only thing that's getting heated is the water in the tank that's going up to those mirrors and being heated over there. For that purpose, we might be able to treat it like actual bishul b'chama, which is absolutely permitted on Shabbos, rather than bishul b'todos chama. Part of the beauty over here is just how hard poskim work on these issues. There are seriously hundreds and hundreds of pages that are written on this one question of Dud Shemesh. Any questions, comments, observations, gentlemen? Yeah, Ari?
Can I just note that the creativity of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in extrapolating from the egg on the roof to the solar panel, I mean, it is. I agree it's creative, but I just want to point out they're both taking place on a roof. All right, the egg's on the roof and the solar panel's on the roof. And I wonder if you'd feel any different if the solar panel was in your backyard. like the fact that it's sort of removed from public view, or the roof, the roof issue has anything to do with his ruling.
It could be that's what triggered him to come up with this approach. But ultimately, I think even if the solar panels are lower down, it would be the same halacha, according to him. Ellie, you had a comment?
Yeah, we pointed out that with sand, if you would take it to like the sidewalk, you take it a few blocks over when
it's still hot.
It's still hot. Wouldn't the same apply by like the Thomas? Because the paint has a mechanism to retain the heat inside the.
So. That's what you're saying. You're saying that the Dud Shemesh itself, because they have like those black insulators to keep the sun rays there for longer. So maybe if I move it somewhere else, I don't know the reality of it. I don't know the Metzius. Maybe you're right. I just quoted what Rav Kafach said. It could be you're right about that point. Okay, gentlemen, we should have a good Shabbos. And God willing, I will see all of you on Monday, and we'll continue these conversations. I hope to send out some more makoros so that you have what to do on Sunday, but just going through the Gemara and Lamed Tesam and Aleph with that Tosfos and the Maharsha is should be enough to keep us really busy. Okay, gentlemen, have a good day.
You're good Shabbos.